you are the program director of KAKC, and you hired some talented people. Let's talk about some of them. Who are they?
Well, Clayton Vaughn, who was a prominent newsman. I mean, he's still around, but he's retired here in town for many, many years, and one of the most, I think, highly respected reporters that I've ever met.
And you hired him as a newsman?
I hired him as a mobile newsman.
And where was he when you hired
him? He was in Cushing, Oklahoma. When I was named program director, we didn't really have a mobile newsman at that time. Different guys like Harry Wilson and a couple of other fellows were covering extra news. We had a news director, the same one that I had worked for when I first joined the station. But when I became named program director in the fall of 58, then we definitely needed to get somebody else to go out and cover the news. And so I hired Clayton. I think that was probably about November or so that I got him out of Cushing. And he came in and started to work as a mobile newsman, working under the fellow that I'd worked for. Then that newsman, a fellow by the name of Bud Curry, got another position. And I think he may have moved to Atlanta. He left, and Clayton was the mobile newsman. And I was just so impressed with what he was doing in Tulsa for KAKC that I asked him if he would be the news director. And he did become the news director. That's how I got Clayton.
So you guys are in your early 20s about this time? Would that be correct?
I was probably almost 23.
And Clayton about the same age.
Yeah, he's about 2 weeks younger than I am.
Okay. Other names?
Other people. Well, Scooter Seagraves we've talked about. It was a great job. He was at TU at the time I hired him to work the Midnight to 6 show on KAKC. And then Don Kelly is another one who had great ratings and had a very funny character, the make-believe character named Chauncey. Danny Dark, who went on to be the voice of NBC. Danny passed away a couple of years ago.
Was Danny an Oklahoman?
Yes, yes. In fact, his mom and dad lived here, and he grew up here. He got his first radio job, I think, up in maybe in Springfield, Missouri. And then he came back here and went to work for KOME. And I heard him on the air. It was like in September of 58 before I'd been named program director. The funny story there was that our program director, Chris Lane, was out in Oregon, I think it was Oregon, interviewing for this job that he eventually took. I think that's where he went to Portland. But he was interviewing for this job. So we needed to get somebody. We were short a guy, or we're going to be. And so I heard Danny on the air, and I thought, this guy has a great voice. At first, I thought he was a network guy. Then I found out he was working over at KOME about just two blocks away from our building at 9th and Boston. So I called Chris, and I said, you got to hear this guy. And he was working nights. So we put the phone up to the radio and let him listen to him. And he had this great, resonant voice, and just project, just tremendous. Let him listen to it for a couple of minutes while he was talking and pulled the phone away and said, what do you think? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure he's got that good a sound for us and so forth. And I said, well, we can teach him how to do what we do, you know. He's got the tools. Well, I don't know. He said, have you talked to the manager, a fellow by the name of Bob Hoth? And I said, well, he's sitting right here in the office. He thinks we ought to hire him. And then Bob jumped in on the phone. He said, yeah. He said, I think this would probably be a good move for us. We need somebody. If the guy was available. And I hadn't even talked to him, but I kept hearing him. So the next day, I went over to see him, and I got in this old rickety old elevator to go up to the floor where the station was, and I'd never been there. It was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe later. Could have been 5:30 or 6 now that I think about it. So I got on this elevator, rode up, the doors open, and right there is the glass leads into the control room. I mean, you walked off the elevator, you walk 5 steps ahead, and you'll crash into the control room glass. And here's this kid sitting there at the microphone. He looks up, his hands and his arms just jerked, his head snapped, and I wonder, what is the matter with this guy? He wasn't on the air at the time. I mean, he was on the air, but the network was on or music or something. He came running out of there. He says, you're Nick Schmitz. You're Nick Schmitz. I said, I know. I know. I was when I got in the elevator. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, are you Danny? And he said, yeah. I said, I came to see if maybe you'd like to think about coming to work for us. Oh, my goodness, he was just going crazy. So he said, I'd love to, I'd love to. I don't know how he knew me. I mean, my picture was on the top 50 list, but that reaction was just over the top. That's been the way it was up until the day he died. Every time we would talk when he was in Los Angeles, we just had this affinity for each other, and he had a great voice. So he came to work for us, and when he came over to the station to do the formal interview, I know he had plaid pants on and like a chartreuse-colored type jacket and striped shirt, and he looked like a clown. But that was the best he could dress up at that time. We offered him the job, It was going to be from 9 to midnight.
Then he went on. You said he was a voice for NBC, but he was the voice for many commercials.
Oh, my, yeah. He did a lot of stuff for Kraft and for Keebler and for Budweiser for many, many years. They used to use Ed McMahon and then another guy before that, but then he was the longtime voice of Budweiser as well, plus so many other spots. We talked two or three, four times a year, and I went out to visit him one time at his home in Brentwood. That was shortly after the O.J. Simpson thing out there. I would ask him, so how are things going? He said, oh, Dick, they're just backing up the truck and unloading the money. He bought the house in Brentwood for about $400,000 and still kept for a couple of years his house in Malibu. Now, that's the kind of truck that was driving up and unloading the money.
Did he do commercial work here in Tulsa?
He didn't really do much here before he left. He only worked for me for about a year.
Did he on his own look for Los Angeles and want to work out there?
He left here. He either went to Miami or New Orleans, and I don't know which one it was. But then he eventually ended up in Cleveland. He was there for a while. I can't give you the order except the last two cities before he went to Los Angeles were Cleveland and then St. Louis. He was in St. Louis, and you did that routine, and you didn't like it, and you left. But he liked it, and he stayed on KXOK first, and then I think he was on WIL. Then Los Angeles came calling, and he didn't even work for the station in Los Angeles all that long. He was there long enough to get exposed and get a good agent. That's what's required out there. And he got a good agent, and he started doing commercials, and that was the end of the road so far as the daily radio shift.
Another talent that you hired at KAKC in about 58.
Well, I didn't hire him in 58, but sometime in probably 61 or 62 was Bob Brown. Bob is just a wonderful guy. He still is a great friend. I think I must have hired him in the early 60s. He worked for us for a couple of years, did the noon to three shift, as I recall, or maybe noon to two. I can't remember what it was. But he also did some news coverage and so forth. Just a talented guy and an incredible voice. Had a great delivery. I was just so proud of being associated with Bob. I had met him when he was just like 16 years old when he and I were both in a play at Tulsa Little Theater called The Kane Mutiny Court Martial. He played a seaman, a young seaman who had been on the ship. And if you know the story of the Kane Mutiny Court Martial, well, there were a bunch of different characters that were on that ship with Captain Quig that had to testify for or against him in the trial. And that's what it really was about. It was the court martial, basically, that whole thing with the court martial. Carl Jansen was another outstanding, marvelous, longtime radio guy who played wonderfully Captain Quig in the Kane Mutiny Court Martial.
Bob, how long was he here?
He was here a couple of years, I think. He and Clayton both left at about the same time to go to KOTV. Bob went as a newsman. Clayton went, if not the news director, he certainly became that very soon after he left. And that would have been probably, I'm going to say, in late 64, early 65, something. I'm not sure. Clayton may have gone just a little bit before Bob did. In fact, Clayton may have hired Bob now that I think about it. But I know they left fairly close together.
Bob then made it to ABC in New York. How did that happen?
He went to Houston first, I believe, and worked down there for a sister station of KOTV, whoever owned it at that time. It may have been Corinthian. I keep thinking maybe he came back to Tulsa for a while, and finally then KABC in New York hired him, or ABC Television is eventually where he wound up, you know, doing 2020 mainly. I'm not sure how that all transitioned, but that's where he ended up. They did not renew his contract a year or two ago. That's why he hasn't been seen on 2020. Of course, ever since Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters quit doing it, that whole format has sort of changed considerably. And I think he's just as happy. He still does periodic things on the History Channel and other things, but he's fine.
Mm-hmm.